In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's good to see you. It's good to see you. Every week when I come back, I just am surprised that I get to see you once again, because I don't get to see you all every day. Thanks for coming back. Especially, it's good to see some of you I haven't seen in a while. Today we have a lot of things that I got to cover, and so we'll try to move through them as quickly as possible. But after Mass today, just in case you were wondering about it, we don't have any catechism for the first graders, second graders, and third graders. And that's not this week, it's a week off. But we do have everything as normal for the 4th through 8th grade, Mass at 5:15, and then your classes there afterward on Wednesday. But this Friday is First Friday. So if you need to take out your calendars right now, if you need to pull out your cell phones or whatever, and just put that in there for a reminder to make sure that you get up at 6:45 so that you can be here for 7 a.m. Mass, put it in there. It's First Friday Mass. It's coming up this week. It's going to be great. Sacred Heart Kids Club, you know that. But also for each of us, to make the 7 First Fridays as the Sacred Heart, our Lord, called us to. Great act of devotion there. Also on this upcoming Saturday, our junior Catholic daughters are going to have their first meeting after the teens. So many of you were a part of it. That's for all of our high school students, all of our middle school students, all of our middle school girls, our high school girls. If you weren't able to make it to that first meeting, there's still an opportunity to join up. There's still an opportunity to be a part of that great aspect of service. So come, be a part of it. Also, this Tuesday, we don't have Mass in Puerto de Luna because Deacon and I have to go to Tucumcari to meet with all the priests of the deanery. So that was my bad. I forgot to put that in the bulletin, so it's a little bit wrong there. But just make sure that everybody knows no Mass this Tuesday in PDL. The rest of the time, it should be right. Now we're going to talk to you about the ACA, the Annual Catholic Appeal. And we haven't talked about it yet because I've not been around, right? I've been gone taking care of a lot of other things. I had to go take the bishop to Rome, so that disrupted our schedule. So hopefully you've already received your packets to be able to make your ACA pledges. But I noticed when I checked on Friday that not too many of us did. Very few of us did. So we need to talk about the Annual Catholic Appeal. And before we get into it, I need to read to you the Archbishop's letter. And so this is what he writes. He said, "Dear brothers and sisters of Christ, welcome to the new year. I wish you a blessed 2019. Performing the corporal works of mercy shapes each of us to be merciful, offering the love of God to the world. But it also requires of us, is a requirement for us for salvation, as Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 25, that each of us were all called to be merciful. The spirit of what St. Paul said in Romans says, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. And so it is my hope that anybody who enters into a Catholic church for Mass, or anybody who enters into the Catholic church for any event at any other time, will feel comfortable, will feel welcome. Hospitality is everybody's ministry here within the church. Hospitality, what it is a virtue that's character building. And each of us have had the experience within our life of being a guest and also being a host. And so we are for the whole world. The Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus teaches us that the poor in spirit, that the hungry, that those who are persecuted and reviled, those are the ones who enter into the kingdom of heaven. The lesson is that Jesus Christ was with the rejected. He was with the excluded. He was with the abandoned. And in him, all are accepted. Showing others hospitality in Christ is to provide that invitation of acceptance. And that's what the 2019 Annual Catholic Appeal theme is this year, is His mercy endures forever. Welcome the stranger. In this, we will emphasize all of our ministries. Have that focus. Though our many ministries, and through them, we invite all those who are unfamiliar, all those who are unknown, all those who are unformed people within our communities to engage in faith building and other services that we're able to provide. We wish to engage with our young adults and to invite them to strengthen their faith day by day, to be there with those who are incarcerated and have them find hope in society and a reunification to receive confession in the Eucharist. We wish to be with those who are suffering from substance abuse, those who are alone in nursing homes, those who are living with disabilities, and especially those who are deaf, to feel a part of the greater community of the Kingdom of God. All of our ministries here in the Archdiocese of Santa Fe work with people of many cultures, of backgrounds, of talents and gifts here. Everyone is invited. All are welcome. And to that end, hospitality abides not within our homes, but also it must do so within our hearts. We must make room within our hearts for the stranger. And so I ask you for your generous financial support of the 2019 Annual Catholic Appeal. Our theme is His Mercy Endures Forever. Welcome the Stranger. This is a way for us to work together to continue our necessary ministry here in the Archdiocese within our communities. Sincerely yours in the Lord, John Charles Wester, Most Reverend Archbishop of Santa Fe. That's what Archbishop has for us today. You know the ACA. You know that we talk about it once and give a reminder another time in the year, because we don't like to talk about just this, because more of what we do is not just giving financially, but it is actually inviting into that hospitality, that finding those who are in the outskirts, as Pope Francis is often calling us to bring them back into the church. I get a question that's asked to me all the time. Father, this ACA, we give our money there. Do we get any benefit out of it? What actually comes back to our parish? What do we see that is here? And I'm here to tell you lots of stuff. Lots of stuff come back here. You talk to Lucy, go and spend any day here within our office, and you'll see how many times she calls the Archdiocese for support to find out how it is that we're supposed to pay our taxes correctly, how it is that we're supposed to organize things to fill people in. I call each and every week the Archdiocese to find out, remember, how do I get into the prison? How do I make sure that the ministries that we have there aren't stopped in any way? How do I make sure that people who are struggling are able to be incorporated in our community? When somebody is struggling with a marriage situation, I'm able to call up there and say, hey, how do I help this person engage in the annulment process? How do I help these ones who are there who don't yet get the faith? How can I bring that to them? What do I need to do? And time again, they spend hours with me figuring out the problem and helping us to restore people to right relationship with Jesus Christ. I talk to our Protestant brothers and sisters all the time. They say, wow, so anytime you have a difficulty, you can just call up and do that. I wish that we had that. Each one of our little church communities are all on our own, and we have to do it here on the local level, but you can call for such great expertise whenever you have a difficulty. That's what the Archdiocese provides for us. And we do our part to make sure that the whole of the church in the Archdiocese is supported. The biggest thing that I think of with the ACA is what we proudly proclaim and have here on our pulpit, which is here. Right here on this anvil, you see all those men who are there, all those men who are studying for the priesthood, just like Fabian will be soon, just like young Kyle, that young man who comes and serves for us once a month from Rio Rancho. In fact, I just talked to the vocations director this week. On Super Bowl weekend, they had a retreat for all those men who were thinking about discerning, asking that question, whether they're called to be priests or not. 11 men showed up for them. It's amazing. And 11 men, out of those 11 men, I talked to him just this past Tuesday, and I said, hey, Father John Trambley, who is it? How many of those ones do you think will actually make good priests? And he said, Father Burnaby, it's amazing. We think that all 11 of them are called. All 11 of them. And so we're working to get all 11 of them into the seminary this upcoming fall. Amazing. 11 men who desire to give their lives totally to Jesus Christ. And so thinking about that and looking at our own situation, I've seen how our finances here in the parish have sort of gone down a little bit, how the ACA as a whole has lessened a little bit because of the various difficulties that are going on within our church and within our archdiocese. And so I looked at it and I said, well, last year I gave $400. I took that out there. And this year I need to step it up because of what God has done for me. You see, this year I was able to go back and to do what? This past week, I went to Rome. I got to go to those places where I was sent to study, all there, and to meet with those formators, those great places, to walk the streets, to be able to visit that old seminary where I was. I said, wow, God really blessed me to be able to send me out there. So I need to step it up too. And so what I'm doing is I'm pledging actually half of a month's salary straight back to the ICA. Straight back in that way. So that's what? That's $544.11. And to be able to give that. That's 4.5% of what the whole parish is asked to give to the ACA. Because I know that our archdiocese needs it. And I know that I was blessed to be able to be at the center of the church, to bring the center of the church here to Santa Rosa in my own person. So I'm asking you for the same thing. To each one of us to reach down and to give something. And whether that's a small donation or a large donation, it doesn't matter. Each of us has a part to contribute back to the whole. And so that's why in your pews you have these little cards to take them. Maybe you didn't get it in the mail. Maybe you did. But contribute, to be a part of it in that way, to show that we are in solidarity with everything that's going on, because these 11 men need to be prepared to enter into the seminary along with all those who are still studying currently. I don't want any of those men to be able to have to be sent away because the archdiocese just doesn't have enough to be able to fund their education. Each of us has a part of that responsibility, and I know you are generous That's why we only talk about it once. And we never miss an opportunity to preach. So that's why we're going to give you a homily today. Jesus said in the gospel, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who abuse you and mistreat you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And because of the ACA, we don't got a whole lot of time to be able to talk about these things. So I just want to show you everything that Jesus says. This is a long gospel, right? A lot of things that Jesus puts out for us in Luke chapter 6. It can be summed up really in three statements. And I want to put to you that maybe we can think of these three statements really as they are, as they're three marks of what it means to be a Catholic, of what it means to be a Christian. Very simply, love your enemy. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Stop judging. That's it. Those are the three things that Jesus is really throwing out to us. And these are things that you and I often, what we try to do within our Catholic lives, is we try to push them off to the side and focus on the things that we're good at. Earlier this week, I was at a family home, and they invited me in there, and I saw one of the little kids. They would take all the peas that were in their pasta and push them over to the side because they didn't like the peas. I was watching last week that we went to the senior center, and they gave us arroz con leche, and it had raisins in it. And I won't tell you who it was, but somebody was there picking all those raisins out of their arroz con leche and pushing them off to the side because they didn't like them. That's kind of what we do with our Catholic faith sometimes. We have something that doesn't seem to match them. We don't like that thing. We're not good at it. That's hard. So we push it off to the side. This is what I was praying about this week. When I was praying about it this week, what we often like to do is we like to focus on the good things that we do and put those to God. So I was praying to God and I was saying, hey, look, this week, Lord God, I try really hard to do good preaching. I try really hard to celebrate Mass with supreme devotion because that's the closest anybody's ever going to get to you in this life. I try to do all my prayers and to do them well. I try to show cheerfulness, to smile, to wave at every person that I encounter, whether I know them or not. I heard God say, oh, great. Good job. That's a good job. I'm happy that you're doing that, but you don't love your enemies. You aren't as merciful as you need to be to those who are around you, and you still make snap judgments of those who are there. So stop it. Do that which is necessary. Isn't that where each of us are today? I want to share something with you that I didn't share with them last night. You see, I want to get real personal with you to show you where is it that Father Burnaby struggles to love? Where is it that Father Burnaby struggles to show mercy, to forgive? The place where I do is with abusive priests, with men who rape women and boys, especially those who are young. I have such anger in myself that rises up against these men. Because if it wasn't for me, if it was up to me what to do with these men, it wouldn't just be that they're defrocked. It wouldn't just be that they're excommunicated from the church. It would be like the old-time justice that was there, which would be to execute them, or at least to castrate them, to cut off the member that offends. You know, that's the way it used to be. That's justice. That's something that they deserve. That's a punishment that actually fits the crime. Why? I struggle there. I struggle there because I struggle with those who want to cover that stuff up, who want to push that to the side because they hurt those who are weak, because they attack those who are vulnerable, because they tar my mother, the church. They tar the name of the priesthood. That first reading is what? Saint David and Abishai. They're venturing into the camp, and Saul is trying to kill David and root him out, and he has an opportunity to take his life there. His companion says, let me take one stab. I will not need a second one. That's like me. Take that one stab because he deserves it. We can do it right now. But David, with the heart of Christ, the heart of God, shows mercy. How many of us each and every day, how many of us can daily turn and to say, look, I do pray for my enemies. I pray for them by name, not just in some throwaway phrase that I throw off there and say, oh, for all those who don't like me. How many of us really seek to love our enemies, not just tolerate them, keep them at a distance? Do we really seek to love them? We hold grudges, don't we? We hold grudges. We can't remember what we had for breakfast, but we can remember that so-and-so did such-and-such to us back in third grade. We can't remember what happened to us yesterday, but we're going to take that wound to the grave. We judge people. We make snap judgments of who they are. We remember what they did way back then, and we refuse to give them any room to change, any room to recover within their lives. They did that thing once, or they did it for a period in their lives, and we brand them with that mark forever. Think about every time you've ever been to a Sunday Mass. You know, after the Creed, we do the intercessions. We pray for all sorts of people throughout under the sun, right? We pray for our family members, for our friends. We pray for our benefactors. We pray for all those men and women who serve us in our community. But who don't we pray for? Have you ever in your entire life heard us pray for our enemies? Specifically by name, for those in the government who fight the work of the church. Do we pray for those who hate our guts, who attack us? Have you ever heard that? Prayer for our enemies, brothers and sisters, is a necessary part of being a Catholic. And if we don't do it, we can't hold to that name. We have to give mercy to people. Mercy means that we give mercy to people, we forgive them when they don't deserve it. If we forgive them when they do, then that's justice. Mercy means that they don't deserve it. We can't keep on judging. We have to allow sinners to convert. Because otherwise, we're going to have a really small parish. Otherwise, we're going to have a really small conception of what heaven is if we don't allow sinners to convert. We treat these things as what? Like they're impossible tenets of the faith, that they're unfeasible aspirations that we have. But brothers and sisters, it's 100% possible. It actually is. It's 100% possible for us to do it if we let Christ Jesus do it within us. You can't love, that's fine. I find it so difficult to love, to forgive, to re-accept, to pray for those who've abused. Jesus says that's all right. Jesus says that's something that's absolutely all right. He says what? So what do? We turn to Jesus and we say, I can't love this person. I can't forgive them. But you, Jesus, got to forgive this one in me. I'm going to put that person into the chalice. So the precious blood, when it's raised up every time I come to Mass, put those souls that are there and you got to cover them in your blood. You got to forgive them. And I'm going to do that until you give me the grace to actually love my enemy. To love the one who attacks us. It's a process. It's not something that we get all of a sudden. Where it takes is it takes the honesty of us turning to God from you and me here to say and to ask this question. Do I really even want to begin the process? Do I really even want to do it and to begin? You know, Confucius, that wise Chinese man, he gives a great saying. He said, the 1,000-mile journey begins with the first step. And so are we wanting to take that first step? Are we going to allow ourselves to take that first step here in Mass? That's what our Lord presents to us in our teachings today. A priest friend told me about a conversation he had with his mother one time, who was flying off the handle at a person who just so attacked her and wounded her. This is what he said to him. She turned to him and she said, you know what, if Miss Such and Such, if she's one who's God is going to let in heaven on the last day, well then I tell you, son, I don't want to be there. And he just looked at her and he said, well, Mom, you don't need to worry about that because you won't be. That's true. That cuts, doesn't it? If we refuse to forgive, if we refuse to let people enter in, then we can't enter in. That's the reality of the situation. Jesus Christ said what? He said, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good for those who spitefully use you and abuse you. Grudge holding is not an option for a Catholic. Do we concretely love our enemies? How do we do it? One way of doing it, pray the rosary for them. Another way of doing it is pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. You know how it has that prayer that we say 50 times over the course of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. Have mercy upon, insert the name. Have mercy upon this person and on the whole world. Have mercy upon this person and on the whole world. And as you and I call God's mercy down upon that person, we receive God's mercy and eventually we'll be able to give that mercy to them. That's the way it works. Let me give you a rule to check yourself on. This is the truest sign of getting close, of that we're actually getting close to where God wants us to be as Catholics. It's when we can really hope. It's when we can really desire. It's when we can really want that the person that I hate most. When I can want the person that just hates me the most. When we want that person to sit next to us forever in heaven. Imagine that for a moment. That person that you hate. That person that hates you so much. Spending 1,000,000,000 years right next to them. And then realizing that's only a blink of an eye in the scope of eternity. To want to be with them forever in heaven. And until you and I can get there, then we really don't have the mind of Christ. The second reading, what St. Paul does for us is he urges us to become more Christ-like. What does he say? He says, put off that old Adam and take on the new Adam. Those are those two natures that are doing war within our very selves. That old man, really, he died in baptism. And we had the new man of Christ regenerated within us to give life. Archbishop Michael Sheehan told me a story when I was with him this past week. He told me a story of an old grandfather Indian who was speaking to his son after he had gotten into a tussle with somebody who was bullying him. Didn't deal with it well. And so the grandfather took him on a nature walk. And when they were passing on that nature walk, arriving at camp, he said, son, grandson, inside of me, I have two wolves that are doing battle. One wolf is full of anger, is full of lust, is full of jealousy, is full of hatred. And that other wolf is filled with love, is filled with compassion, is full of peace, forgiveness, and mercy. And these two wolves are always fighting inside of me. Grandson, I gave you those wolves. They're inside of you too. And the grandson, taking that very seriously, looked up at his grandfather and said, grandfather, who wins? Which wolf will win? And the grandfather Indian looked at his grandson and said, whichever wolf you feed, my son, is the one that's going to win. It's the same for us today. Each one of us has those wolves fighting inside of us, that natures which are fighting inside of us. One is full of anger, one is full of jealousy, lust, and hatred. The other is full of love, peace, forgiveness, and mercy. And you and I get to decide who wins. It's whichever one we feed. It's every outburst of anger that we give into, every choice we do to judge, every time we hold a grudge. What that is that's food for one of the beasts inside of us. Every time we hold our tongue, every time we refuse to fight needlessly, every time we give a gift of forgiveness, every time we reach up to heaven and call out to God and say, help, I can't do this. That's giving food to the other one. Giving food to that new man reborn in Christ. Each one of us has both of those. And whichever one we feed within our homes, within our workplaces, within our schools, everyone that we feed and let loose here in our community, that's the one that's going to win. What did Jesus say? In the gospel, Jesus said to us, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you and mistreat you. He said, the world expects that you act in justice. But I say to you, love your enemies and do good to them. Be merciful just as your Father in heaven is merciful. Stop judging and you won't be judged. Stop condemning and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you yourself will receive forgiveness. Give and gifts will be given back to you. Good measure, overflowing, running over, it will be poured into your lap. Because with the same measure, you measure out things to others. So it will be measured out to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.